Looked beyond all my faults. shall forever. Oh, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to the cross where my Jesus died for me. Oh, how marvelous the grace that caught my fallen soul. He looks beyond all my faults, and he saw my need. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Isn't God good? You say, well, Brother Furman says, it's good to be in the house of the Lord a lot. Yeah, I get nervous and I say that, but it truly, truly is a privilege. There's so many places the world is out doing their thing. There's people in tree stands. There's people at home just miserable. And we have a place, and it's a privilege to come to the house of the Lord and worship. Amen. It's good to see you here this morning. Amen. This is 389 if you need a hymn book. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, oh, thou has taught me. Is that your testimony? Oh, it is well. Oh, it is well with my soul. Oh, it is well with my soul.
That my sin not in part, oh, but the whole.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, it is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. this, and Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, and the clouds.
Your heart, it is well. Oh, it is well with my soul. Oh, it is well. Oh, it is well with my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. Oh, the sky, not the grave, is our goal. Oh, the shout by faith, it is well. Amen. All is well this morning. We love you, Jesus. Amen. To think that that was penned as a father came over the area where he had lost several of his daughters, and I think his wife, and just inspired words. I'm sure he was grieving, but he knew that he had a promise that by his grace he would see them again, and just what a song. Amen. It is well. God bless you. It's good to be in church. Amen. Lord willing, our October Bible study for ages 15 to 30 will be on Thursday, October the 24th, from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. here at the church. And the following evening, Friday, October the 25th, for ages 10 to 14, 7:30 to 9:30 here at the church. And Lord willing, the following day, Saturday the 26th of October, all the young people from 10 to 30, single, never been married, we'll be having a gym for them from 5 to 9 p.m. More information to come on where that gym will be. And the same day, the same evening as the gym, there will be a couples meeting from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. here at the church. Brother Nathan will be telling us a little bit more about what that will entail here after a while. So looking forward to all those things for the young people. I have a testimony here. On this past Monday, my wife's sister April had a biopsy done on a lump in her armpit. We got the results back on Thursday. It is benign. Amen. I just want to thank the Lord for answering our prayers. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. Amen. It's what we were believing for, but when medical science confirms what God has done, it is a true comfort and a blessing. So It's been pretty painful for her, but by the grace of the Lord, she said this morning's the first time in a month that she's felt really good coming to church. So praise the Lord. So on Thursday, she'll meet with a surgeon to see about getting that removed. So just continue to remember her in prayer for that. Thank you. Brother Lee Pierce says, please remember a customer of ours in prayer. His name is Wayne. He's about 62 years old. He had a massive heart attack and a stroke and is in the hospital. The doctors say that he could be permanently paralyzed from his neck down. So definitely want to remember that in prayer. Want to remember Sister Patty Hansel in prayer for safe travels. And Brother Japheth asks that we continue to remember Sister Laura in prayer. She continues to struggle with a sinus infection. So pray that God will deliver her from that. Brother Buckles called this morning and told me that he had was stepping off of a step out here and he had sprained his left leg, a ligament. So he told me, the best I could understand it, he might be out for about 6 weeks. But I said, well, will we not see you at church for 6 weeks? And he said, I'm not sure. I may be able to come in a wheelchair. So I told him to let us know how we could help him. But the doctor said it would take about 6 weeks for that to heal. So I want to remember him in prayer. But he sounded like he was in good spirits. So it's good to be able to have a place to take our needs to the Lord. Sister Sherry Eplin, I think she's feeling very sick this morning. Just want to continue to remember her in prayer. And Brother Morris, would you come and take these needs before the Lord? If you have an unspoken prayer request, make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. He sees your need. It's not in vain. He knows each need, and you just hold it up before him. God bless you.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your office presence, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come to the house of God and worship you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, according to the Holy Ghost that lives within us, Father. Lord, we want to adore you, Lord, today, and thank you for every, Lord, little thing that you do and every big thing, Father, because anything that you do is great, Father. We thank you for everyone gathered today, and we commit all these requests to your glory, Father. We know, Father, that you are very present help, Lord, and that you answer prayer, gracious God, and that you hear us when we pray. Father, we thank you for the promise, Lord, that you've given to us. Gracious Lord Jesus, that the word of God, Lord, would live in this age and hour in your bride. Pray for each one here this morning, Father, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would take us out the door in greater shape, Lord, when we came in. Bless each one and get glory to your name, Father. Honor your presence, Lord, we do today and give you glory. We pray for the ministry here, Lord Jesus, and every saint that gathers, Father, for your glory. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Good morning, church. We'll be reading the 72nd chapter of the book of Psalm. We'll be finishing it up this morning. We'll start with the 11th verse and read through the 20th. 20th verse sounds a little odd, but go ahead and read it with me when we get down there. I noticed walking up from the parking lot this morning, some of the people in the neighborhood have their images out to their God. I'm glad I brought mine with me. I'm glad he's here this morning. All right, 72nd chapter of Psalm, starting with the 11th verse. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and he shall save the souls of the needy. And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised.
There shall be a handful of corn in the earth on the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and the name of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth.
His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed.
Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things.
And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. God bless you, saints. Please be seated.
God bless you. At this time, we have a special from Sister Anna Pierce and Sister Leah Leek.
Thank you.
love that song. Appreciate that. God bless you. What a wonderful meaning. If the brothers would please come at this time.
When my Savior calls, I will answer. When He calls for me, I will hear. When my Savior calls, I will answer. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening.
Is that your desire this morning? Good to be in service again this morning to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And have a few announcements that I want to make. First of all, Lord willing, Brother Tim Pruitt will be here with us Wednesday night ministering for us. So I want to be in prayer for that, that the Lord will just give us an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And looking forward to what Brother Tim has on his heart for us, that service. And then as Brother Furman had mentioned, we'll be having a couples meeting here on Saturday while the youth are at the gym. And what that is, it's for married couples. And Brother Trevor and I will be kind of having a little topical discussion around that, like we did for the parent meeting a few months ago. And the topics that we're mainly wanting to deal with is communication and roles. And so I would encourage you, whether you're newly married or been married for 40 years or whatever it is, I think it'd be encouraging to you if you can make it. And then also, we have a first for our church this morning. Something that we've never done before because we've never had the opportunity to. But I've had several brothers approach me over the last few months about having a burden on their heart for different types of ministries. And so Brother Steven Soderquist was one of them, and he's been doing ministry for the youth Bible studies and for the Sunday school, the oldest Sunday school class for a while, but he feels led to just go a little further into his ministry and has a burden on his heart for missions. So he'll be going with Brother Trevor to Beckwe on a mission trip in November, and so we certainly want to pray with him and as God leads him into his individual ministry. And then this young man sitting behind me, Brother Zion, God has not only blessed him with the music ministry, but also he's had a call on his heart for some time, and he and Brother Trevor had approached me in my office a few months ago and was sharing a burden that he has on his heart. So we've been using him in some capacity already to do, he's done at least one of the youth Bible studies and one of the Sunday school classes as well, so we appreciate him. We want to pray with him this morning for his ministry. And then also we have a brother that just started coming, Brother Caleb Lehechanu, that he had approached me to youth Bible study a couple months ago and feels a call on his life as well. So we want to ask those three brothers if they'd come this morning. And the way Brother Branham did this, he would just lay hands on the brothers and just pray for them, that God would bless them in their individual ministries. I'm going to ask the other minister brothers if you all would come this morning as well. And pray with me with these brothers. Brother Morse, if you don't mind coming, and the different ones. Amen. I appreciate that God is still raising up ministries in this age. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Let's pray with Brother Stephen first, brothers. Dear Heavenly Father, for my brother, Lord, you see what God has placed on his heart and how that he has a burden, Lord, for missions and for the youth and for different things that you've placed in his heart. And Lord, and I just ask that you would lead him and guide him, Lord, anoint him, Lord, in any way that you would want to use him, Father. Lord, may he be a blessing to all those that, Lord, you bring him in contact with. Use his life, Lord, as a ministry, Father, I pray. And Lord, be with him and his family, Lord. And I just ask that you would lead him and guide him in any way that you could use him, Father. And may you bless his efforts, Lord, we pray. Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, we ask you to be with our brother. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for Brother Zion this morning, I ask that you'd be with him, Lord. A young man, Lord, I started out about the same age, Lord, when you'd placed a burden on my heart since a little boy. But, Father, Lord, it encourages my heart to see you raising up young men, Lord, in this age. Father, without, Lord, every darkness and evil that could be against them to try to bring them away from the truth and to bring them away from you. And Lord, with the unpopularity of ministry in this age, Father, but yet you would still place a burden on a man's heart, Lord, to use him. And Father, I ask you to be with my brother. Lord, may he be an example to these young people, Father. Lord, may you give him the strength, Lord, for all that he'll face. May you give him wisdom, Father. May you just use him in a mighty way, Father, to be a blessing to others. Lord, guide him and lead him to his specific ministry, I pray, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Lord, for Brother Caleb this morning, Father, Lord, I thank you for him, Lord, and for this call that you've placed on his life, this burden, Lord, that he has. And as he spoke with me several months ago, Father, about how he'd felt a call for a long time and sharing different things with me and asking me questions, Lord, reminded me of many of the things that, Lord, you laid on my heart as a young man, Father. And I just ask that you'd anoint him, Father. Lord, send him forth, Lord, as a lick of fire, Father, to wherever he would go, Lord, not only behind a pulpit, but wherever you would take him, Father, Lord, as he comes in contact with other young people or believers, Lord, or unbelievers, whatever it would be, may you use him, make him a witness, Father, Lord, and lead him and guide him, Father, into the individual ministry you'd have for him, Father. May you use him in a mighty way, and may he be a blessing to all those he comes in contact with, Father, in Amen. Jesus Christ's name. God bless you, brothers. Appreciate you. Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Let's stand together this morning. I never thought I'd be doing that, Brother Arnie, but somebody did that to me years ago. Brother Collins had me and Brother Trevor come up and do that. And Brother Trevor asked me, I think they after that they played The Absolute in 1963. And then I think Sister Helen Borders sang The Absolute. He said, "Are you playing that Absolute tape this morning?" I said, "No, but it's still my Absolute." Amen. After all these years, the Word of God is still my absolute. Amen. Let's sing this morning. You may not know it, but I've had it on my heart all week, and I think you can learn the chorus pretty easily. The chorus just says, "I want to walk like the Lord talk like the Lord, live like the Lord, and love like the Lord. I want a godly attitude in everything that I do. Amen. So help me sing it if you know it or if you can learn it. I want to walk like the Lord, talk like the Lord, live like the Lord, love like the Lord. I want a godly attitude in everything I do. Let's sing it again. Oh, I want to walk like the Lord, talk like the Lord, live like the Lord, love like the Lord. I want a godly attitude in everything I do. Well, 60 won't make it, 70 God won't take it, 80 almost, and 90 that's close. I want a godly attitude in everything I do. Oh, I want to walk like the Lord, talk like the Lord, live like the Lord, love like the Lord. I want a godly attitude in everything I do. When Brother John the Apostle got too old to preach, he cried, love one another, that's the way we ought to be. I want a godly attitude in everything I do. Help me sing it this morning. Oh, I want to walk like the Lord, talk like the Lord, live like the Lord, love like the Lord. I want a godly attitude in everything I do. Brother Paul the Apostle said, you can have all these things, but if you have not charity, you believe an empty thing. I want a godly attitude in everything that I do. Well, I want to walk like the Lord, talk like the Lord, live like the Lord, love like the Lord. I want a godly attitude in everything that I do. Play it this morning, brothers. I think you know the words of this part. Well, I ain't what I want to be. I ain't what I ought to be. Oh, but praise the Lord, I ain't what I used to be. I want a godly attitude in everything that I do. Let's sing it that way again. Oh, well, I ain't what I want to be. I ain't what I ought to be. Oh, but praise the Lord, I ain't what I used to be. I want a godly attitude in everything that I do. Oh, I want to walk like the Lord, talk like the Lord, live like the Lord, love like the Lord. I want a godly attitude in everything that I do. Well, this age was in darkness in a very bad way, till the Lord God Almighty sent Elijah by our way. I want a godly attitude in everything I do. Let's try it that way again. Oh, this age was in darkness in a very bad way, till the Lord God Almighty sent Elijah by our way. I want a godly attitude in everything I do. Well, I want to walk like the Lord, talk like the Lord, live like the Lord, and love like the Lord. I want a godly attitude in everything I do. One more time together. Well, I want to walk like the Lord, talk like the Lord, live like the Lord. I want to love like the Lord. I want a godly attitude in everything I do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. He's worthy of our praise this morning. Hallelujah. Good to be in his presence. Amen. God bless you this morning. Turn with me, if you would, again into Exodus chapter 13. We've been looking for quite a few weeks on this lot of the congregation on Sunday mornings, and last week we looked at this subtitle of The Spirit of Bondage, and want to look at that again this morning with the help of the Lord. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17, and just want to say good to have all of our home folks with us and all the visitors as well, and most of all, good to have Jesus Christ in our midst. Amen. He said that he would be wherever two or three were gathered together in his name. Amen. So I hope you came this morning not just to a church or an address or just to hear a man, but I hope we came in the name of Jesus Christ to worship him and to give him preeminence in all that we do. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. And then over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, just want to read one verse there as well. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let's just bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, I ask that you would move on the scene in a special way, Lord. Be with each one that's represented here this morning, each individual, each family. Lord, I pray that you would move on the scene and touch their hearts, Lord. There's many needs represented, Father, but you know all about each one. You know every need. You know every circumstance. Lord, you know every question on every heart, Father. And Lord, we come before you this morning. I'm not depending on my ability or my knowledge or my own strength, Lord, but I'm depending on the gift that you placed in my life, Father, and I'm depending on the anointing that we feel here, Lord, the unction of the Holy Spirit, of your presence that we believe to be with us here this morning. And Lord, I ask you that we would go out of here, Father, as Brother Moore said in his prayer, closer to you than when we came in, Father. And Lord, that you would take the words, the Lord, that we already have on page and just quicken those to our hearts. We know that that is anointed, Lord, but I ask that you would anoint me as well and use me, Father, in a way that would encourage and help, Lord, and in a way that the people would realize, Lord, it's not that I'm anything in myself, Lord, but it's that you're everything, Father. Lord, we give you all glory and praise and honor for all that you do. Lord, we thank you for these brothers, Lord, that, Lord, you're moving on their hearts, maybe in different ways and different directions, Lord, but you're using them. And Lord, I believe that you will continue to use them. Lord, thank you for the other minister brothers represented here this morning. I ask that you'd bless each one in their own individual ministry, Father, Lord. Lord, some teachers and evangelists and pastors and different ways and different forms, Lord, that you use men and different personalities and different ways that men would study and Lord, be able to see and glean nuggets from the word, Lord, that could be used to benefit your children, Lord. But I ask that you'd be with each one, Lord, and bless them in their own unique way. Father, not only them, but Lord, your prophet told us that each one of us has a ministry, even to the housewife, Lord, even to the children, even to the carpenter, the plumber, the electrician, whatever it would be, Lord. Each one of us has a ministry that we can be a lived life and a lived voice in this age to be a witness and to take a stand for the truth, Father. So I ask that you'd be with each one. Lord, give them the unction of the Holy Spirit that they would need for their walk with you and for wherever you would lead them or guide them. Lord, give them the words to speak, Lord, and live through them, Father, I pray. Lord, just take my humble efforts this morning and use it to help somebody, I pray. Lord, may you get the glory from it. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you richly, and you can be seated this morning. We looked at it last week, how that Israel had come out of Egypt with a mighty hand, God sending a vindicated prophet in their age with signs and wonders and plagues, and yet they would come out and immediately they would go to grumbling and complaining and nitpicking everything and trying to find fault with Moses and with Aaron, and everywhere they looked there was there would be men that would raise up and try to hinder the work and try to stand in their way. And they would, any time a circumstance looked a little bad, they would begin to cry out and be discouraged by it. But yet, God would provide for them every step of the way, every circumstance, everything that they would face, God would provide for them. When they would come up against a Red Sea, yet God would move in their midst, and he would come on the scene, and he would part the waters. Not only that, but they would walk across on dry land, right in the midst of where there had been water a few moments before, yet God would begin to move on the scene and clear a path for them to come through victoriously, and they would get right across the Red Sea and a few days' journey, and then they would begin to get thirsty, and they would begin to complain and want to go back to Egypt, and then God would provide water in a supernatural way, and they would go a little further, and then they'd begin to get hungry, and they would want to go back to Egypt, and they would begin to complain and to grumble, and God would provide food, and God would provide this and provide that, and every time that he did something, they would find something to complain about, and as we looked at many of the different scriptures last week, they would constantly want to raise up somebody to take them back to Egypt, and raise up somebody to rule over them instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to rule over them. And we look at that and we think how ridiculous that they would want to go back into the bondage that they came out of. But yet we see the very same pattern in churches and families and individuals, that God will bring somebody from something and bless them and deliver them. And if they're not careful, they'll go right back into the same pattern that they came out of. Oh, it may be under a different name or a different topic or a different title, but it's the very same spirit of bondage that God brings people out of. If we're not careful, they'll go right back into the very same thing that God tried to deliver them from. Brother Branham says in Victory Day in 1963, all these great victories was temporal victories. Even to Moses, Israel went right back into bondage again, always in and out, in and out. We find it. They would come out of bondage in Egypt, and then they would murmur and complain, and then the Philistines would rise up and put them under a taxation and put them under obligation to them, and then God would raise up a judge and he would deliver them from the Amalekites or the Philistines or the Ammonites or whoever it would be, and then they would have success for a little while, and then they go right back into worshiping their idols and doing all the things that grieve God, and he'd allow them to go right back into bondage again, and here God would raise up another judge and bring them out, and they'd go right back to the same thing. Then he would raise up kings, even against his own perfect will, yet in his permissive will, God wanted to be king over them, but because they wanted to be like the rest of the nations, God would raise up kings, and they would do good for a while, and then some of their descendants would do evil, and they'd take Israel right back into idolatry and right back into bondage, and then Jeremiah would prophesy and say that they were going to be carried away into Babylon. They would make fun of him and ridicule him. Don't you know God is wanting to bless us, and God is wanting to prosper us, but a vindicated prophet of God had said they were going into captivity, and so they went into captivity. God would deliver them from that. And then they would go right back into captivity again, over and over and over, this same process of deliverance and then going right back into the very thing that God delivered them from. And my, it's sad to see that it creeps in even around our own message ranks, that God will bring somebody out of a denomination and out of organization and out of the leadership of men and out of cults or out of man-made ideas and man-made traditions and creeds and bring them to the truth, and then they'll turn right around and embrace somebody that's taken them right back into Egypt again. Deuteronomy chapter 13, we don't have time to read it this morning, but go back and read it when you get home, verses 1 through 11, and see if it doesn't talk about if even God would send a prophet, even with signs and wonders, yet if he would want to point them to idols or he would want to try to take them back to Egypt, that they were supposed to take him out and kill him. Even if it was, then it doesn't just stop there with the ministry. Then it goes on and talks about family members. If it's your brother or your mother or your father or your cousin or whoever it would be, and they raise up and want to take you into idolatry or take you back to Egypt. In the Old Testament, they were to not be, show a little favoritism because, well, this one's related to me or this one's my buddy or this one's this or this one's that. But they were to take them out and stone them. Now, we don't believe in physically killing people today like that as a religious ordinance, that we're beyond the law and we're into grace, but yet when you see something rise up that's going to take you back into the very same thing you came out of, I would encourage you to distance yourself from it. Amen. You telling us to unchristianize people or unfriend somebody? No, but I'm telling you to be careful of the spirits that they pack and the influence and the anointing that they pack with them, so that they don't drag you back into the very same bondage that God sent a prophet of God in this age to bring you out of. Amen. Brother Branham told us to fellowship with everybody, but he didn't tell us to act like everybody. He didn't tell us to live like everybody. He didn't tell us to believe like everybody. Amen. So watch the atmosphere that you allow to be around you. Watch the influence that you allow to come against you. Yes, we should fellowship. And you know, I know some people, they bless God, they don't go to our church, so they just must be wrong, and we'll just draw a circle and draw them out. I can't find a quote or a scripture where Brother Branham or the Lord Jesus or St. Paul ever did that. Now, St. Paul did disfellowship people that were living lives of fornication and things like that and claiming to be believers at the same time, and he did disfellowship people that had heretical teachings that after the first and second admonition, they still wouldn't accept correction and they go on. There were people that he disfellowshipped, but he didn't just go around and every time somebody believes something a little different than him, say, I can't have anything to do with you. But he also took a stand for the word and didn't let them come in and run over him and influence him in the wrong direction. Whether it was Peter or James or John or whoever it was, he stood right there with Peter, and Peter, being the man with the keys to the kingdom, yet he was wrong. And Paul didn't say, well, you know, he did go fishing with Jesus, so I guess he must be right and I must be wrong. But he said, I withstood him to the face because he was wrong. But he didn't disfellowship Peter. He didn't unchristianize Peter. He just stood for the truth, and then they were able to move forward into the truth. Amen. Galatians chapter 2 verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, this is St. Paul speaking, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now here, Titus, being a Greek and being uncircumcised, he would get around this group of legalistic and self-righteous Pharisaical Jews, and they would say, well, Titus, we'll accept you, but if we're going to accept you, you've got to do it our way, and you've got to see it our way, and you've got to come under the circumcision. And Paul didn't say, well, you know, I guess these men have been around the message longer than I have, so I guess I'll just cow down to it. We better go out to Titus and get this taken care of. But he said, we didn't stand still for it for an hour. We didn't give them space. We didn't give them preeminence, but we gave the word space and preeminence. False brethren unaware come in to spy out our liberty, that they might bring us again unto bondage. Again, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. My, I think of Legion out there in the graveyards. And I was going to read it this morning, but due to time, I'll omit it. But you can go back home and read about it in the Gospels, how that a man by the name of Legion, that wasn't his real name, that was the name that the devil gave him. You see, there was many times in the Bible that people had name changes for the better, but there were a few that had name changes for the worst. And Legion, they said, we are Legion. Jesus asked him, who are you? And the demon spoke out of him and said, we are Legion, for we are many. And here he was bound up with the devil, but yet he could go out there in the graves cutting himself. And, you know, that spirit still is alive today, but the Holy Spirit can give you deliverance from it. But he was out there in the tombs cutting himself, and they would try to chain him. But this superhuman strength, Brother Raymond said, somebody that's demon-possessed has 10 times the power that a normal person would have. Well, if that's what a demon-possessed person would do, what about somebody that was possessed of the Holy Ghost? That could take control of their being. What could they do? There's Samson without the real baptism of the Holy Ghost, but just the anointing of it, could take and carry the gates of Gaza on his back, and could take and tear lions and beat down 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone. Oh, let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you one time and you'll do things you didn't realize you could do. You'll act in ways that you didn't realize you could act. You'll live and talk different than you thought you could ever live or talk. But a man so possessed of the devil that they would try to chain him, and he could break the physical chains that were binding him, but yet he was still bound because chains weren't his problem. That wasn't the type of bondage that he had come into, but he had come under bondage of evil spirits that had begun to control his life. Brother Branham said that he told his wife a lie, and it started from right there. One little lie, and then the devil would add another thing and another thing, like a spider web going around. Well, I can break this anytime, but then it goes around and around and around. Before you know it, you know, people go around. I can give up these cigarettes anytime. I can quit vaping anytime. I can quit these prescription drugs or these illegal drugs or whatever it is. I can quit at any time. And then they get to a spot where they can't quit because they've got possessed of an evil spirit that's addicted them. Of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. But then Jesus would come along, and Jesus would free this man, and they would find him clothed and in his right mind. You know, there's something about it. The devil would like you to take off your clothes, but the Holy Spirit makes you put them back on. The Holy Spirit makes you dress right and act right and live right and talk right. Amen. The indictment, 1963, he said, they take their creeds and denominations and their little petty things that they believe and has been adopted by councils of men and take it instead of God's word, right back into the very same thing that we came out of. A prophet of God, God would rise up in this age. And he said his job was to tie up all the loose ends that had been down through the ages. So he could take Clarence Larkin, and he could take Luther, and he could take Wesley, and he could take Martin and Columba and the different ones and the different things that they touched on, and Dr. Smith and different ones, and he could bring truths out of what they had taught. But yet when they left the word, he left the teaching. Amen. He would leave it lay there, and he would be able to glean things from. He didn't just say, well, away with Luther and away with Wesley and away with all these that have been back. We don't need the Apostle Paul, and we don't need Moses, or we don't need that. That was absolutely not what he did. But what he did was he took the Bible and he would use it as the pattern to find the truth down through each age. Amen. It would behoove us if we would do the same thing in this age. If we would take the Bible, and Brother Benham said that the Holy Spirit in this age, that if the vine, he says it in the beginning of the church age book there, if the vine ever puts forth another branch, that it'll be just like it was back there on the day of Pentecost, and that if those, the true vine, can discern and withstand the two spirits working within the church and stand against or withstand the Antichrist spirit, that she would be an invincible army, that the gates of hell would not prevail against her, but that she would prevail against them. So it would behoove us to discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit. Amen. That's not just Baptist or Lutheran or whatever it would be, but it gets closer to that in this age where the Bible said that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Well, I'm not going to be deceived by the Catholic Church. I've come a little further than that by the grace of God. But if we're not careful, we go back to the exact same pattern. And what did he say? They take their creeds and denominations and their little petty things that they believe in and has been adopted by councils of men and take it instead of God's word. Now, I find it ironic that people, you know, if I was to get up and begin to preach to you things that I had no scriptural foundation for, no quotes, no scripture, and it was just the thus saith the opinion of Brother Nathan, this is just the way I feel about it, this is my preference, this is my thought, this is what I like and what I don't like, and I begin to preach that as doctrine, that there'd be a lot of angry phone calls and emails and meetings and things like that. Brother Nathan, you don't have a quote or a scripture to support that, but then yet people out in the laity will begin to do the exact same thing and try to force their opinions and their ideas and their thoughts on somebody. Well, I don't think you should do this, and I don't think you should do that, and I think Brother Nathan should preach this, and I think he should come against this and do that. Well, praise the Lord. God didn't call anybody to live by your opinion. He called us to live by the word. Amen. We believe in standing for the word. When it comes to the word, we're going to take a stand for the word, but there's many things that's just your personal preference. There's many people in this area, they don't like the style of worship service that we have and the type of music that we have and all that. That's fine. I don't have a quote of scripture that says they have to listen to drums or guitars or cellos or any certain instrument. I don't have one that says they have to go to a church where those things are playing, but I also don't have a quote of scripture to tell me not to. So I'm going to keep doing it as long as the Lord leads me to do it. Amen. Many of these things are your personal preference. And if we're not careful, we take these little petty things that we believe. That's what he called them. Little petty things that we believe. And we make doctrines and traditions. And then before you know it, well, the sisters can't wear necklaces and the brothers can't wear watches and we shouldn't wear wedding rings anymore. And well, I'll just be one to say that I believe that we should wear them. You got a quote or a scripture for that? Yeah, when Brother Branham performed the marriage ceremony, he gave them the wedding ring. He said, I require a token of you that this vow should be kept. And you notice a wedding ring is complete. It goes completely around. It doesn't have little choppy spots where you know, well, we'll till death do we get to this spot, and then we'll do this, and then in health we'll do this, but in an unhealth there'll be a little spot here that's missing, and in wealth we'll do this, but then in poor we'll do a little spot that's missing. It's a complete circle, just like eternity. Brother Branham said, when a man finds a woman that he loves, kinsman redeemer, he said that he doesn't know why he loves her, but there's something that's different about her than the rest of those women. And he said he chooses her and she accepts him. That he said, that's a mate in glory that stepped out of eternity, and one day they'll go back to eternity together. Amen. If you got the right one, that's the type of relationship that it is. And if you got the wrong one, well, then I'm sorry. I'm not going to remarry you 14 times till you get the right one. Brother Bram said a man should pray earnestly, for he could ruin his entire life. Amen. I would encourage you. I would exhort you. I would admonish you, young people. Pray earnestly. Because if you get the wrong one, there's not a whole lot I can do about it. I can sit and talk to you and feel sorry for you and cry with you and all that, pray with you. But you know, Brother Bram said we could ruin our entire life. So we want to make the right choices. Little petty things that they believe in and has been adopted by councils of men and take it instead of the Word of God. We've seen all kinds of things raise up around the message. Well, Brother so-and-so teaches it this way. And if you don't see it that way, you're just out. If you don't believe the coming of the Lord like we do, or you don't believe the thunders like we do, or you don't believe in return ministry like we do, or you don't believe this or that, you know, you could name 100 different doctrines that, you know, we don't have denominations within the message. We have doctrines. We segregate off by doctrines or by personality movements, and we draw, well, you're not following Brother so-and-so, then you're out. Oh, you don't see this doctrine the way that I do, you're out. Said Brother Branham, never. Said Jesus, never. Said Paul, never. Amen. Petty little things that they believe in and take it instead of the Word of God. All kinds of statements get made. We got some sisters sitting here this morning that came from a church in West Virginia, and it was taught that a man with a beard had something to hide, so you shouldn't have a beard. Well, you know, I would teach that too if the Bible or the message taught it, but I can't find where the message or the Bible taught that. So, you know, if you want to grow a beard, go right at it. Now, you sisters, I think my personal preference would be for you not to. But for the brothers, if you feel to grow a beard, I don't have a quarter of scripture to tell you not to. Well, praise the Lord. All kinds of things. We could go on and on this morning of things that get taught and things that get said and things that people say that Brother Branham said that he never really said, that it's their interpretation of another quote or something that somebody else said once upon a time, and they heard that and thought that it was Brother Branham and repeated it, and then it gets repeated as though it's thus saith the Lord, and many times it's just somebody's opinion. Amen. I'm not here to teach you somebody's opinion. I'm here to teach you the Word. What does it take to make a Christian life? 1957. Now, in this, the people has a reason, because they have seen so much denominationals and so many different dictators, as it was spiritual dictators in the church to say thus and thus. But the Holy Spirit has placed each one into the body of Christ, and we're helpless to maneuver without every member of our body. We're helpless to maneuver without every member of our body. But what does the devil want you to do? The devil wants you to look across to the other side of the church and say, oh, well, the way Brother So, did you see the color shirt Brother So-and-so had on? Or did you see the way this one did this? Or did you say, I would never do that. Or I would never let my children do that. Or I would never. Can you believe that they would do that? I've been raised different than that. My culture is different than that. My background is different than that. My preference is different than that. Well, that's wonderful and that's fine and you have that right. right, but I'm not here to keep, to teach or to preach culture or background or preference. And I'm not going to be a spiritual dictator and get up and tell people, you can and you can't, and let me come into your house and see your DVD collection, and, well, these 12 are okay, but these 500, they're not okay. And God didn't call me to do that. God called me to preach the Word and to try to get you filled with the Holy Spirit so that He could come and He could lead you and He could guide you and He could tell you how to dress and how to act and what was right and what was not right. Because if not, we get into just a bunch of man-made legalism that, well, Brother Trevor, I'd really prefer it if you didn't drive this brand of car. Or Sister so-and-so, I'd prefer if you didn't wear this brand of dress or this wear this type of purse or whatever it would be. And a bunch of man-made garbage of spiritual dictators. Right. That offends you too much the first time? Let me say it a second time. Man-made garbage of spiritual dictators. God didn't call me to be a dictator over you. Oh, well, Brother so-and-so, he doesn't believe in sandals. And, well, he'd had a hard time with Jesus and the disciples then. Well, Brother so-and-so doesn't think you should wear short sleeves. Well, he'd have had a hard time with the prophet of God baptizing down on the river when the angel of the Lord came down and said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming, so will your ministry forerun the second one. See, a lot of times we don't even think our thought process on out to see how it compares with the rest of the Word, but we get a little cute idea or we get offended by somebody, and if we're not careful, whether it's on the platform or out in the pews, you become a little spiritual dictator to try to go around and tell, now, Brother Layton, naughty, naughty, naughty. Can't believe you would wear that brand of tie clip, brother. Don't you know that their parent company did this and this once upon a time? And yeah, there's things that I don't agree with either. And there's some places that we don't shop because I don't like their policies and things. But you know what? It's going to get to a place where as this age gets darker and darker, that the only way you're going to be able to drink anything is to go out and get you water out of your own well and to be able to sit there and sew your own clothes and to hide out in darkness, because there's evil everywhere. Amen. Who are you going to vote for, Brother Nathan? Who could I vote for? Amen. Both sides is crooked. You hear me tease about the Democrats and things, but hey, there's as many. Well, in this day, I don't know if I can say that honestly or not anymore, but I guess there's as many crooked Republicans as there is Democrats. Some of you are disagreeing with me, but hey, these aren't message believers we're voting for. Most of these people aren't spirit-filled people. If you get high, what, brother? That's right. He said they're both wrong. He said even if you did put an Abraham Lincoln in every office today, she'd still go down. Because why? Not because of who the man is in office, but because she rejected the gospel back in 1956. And she'll never come out of it. But there will be a group that heard a voice say, come out of her, my people. And she will come out of it. Amen. I would encourage you, as Brother Trevor, you know, somebody made fun of him the way that he sweeps his stairs, you know. I would encourage you, sweep around your own front stairs. We want to point fingers at everybody else. Well, Brother Lee, I wouldn't have did it that way. Brother, I'd have did it this way. And then you realize you got three more pointing right back at you. Those are the three that we don't like, you know. Spiritual dictators in the church to say thus and such. But the Holy Spirit has placed each one into the body of Christ, and we're helpless to maneuver without every member of our body. And before we run one another down and take sides and divide the church over little petty things, I would encourage you to say, Lord, you know that person's heart. I don't know their heart. You know the circumstance. Lord, I don't know the circumstance. But Lord, I might need that person sometime down the road. They might be the one to encourage me when I'm in my darkest hour. They may be the one that's going to be a witness to my child when I can't reach them. Or they may be the one that goes and prays my child through at the altar. Or they may be the one that God uses their ministry to allow an atmosphere to come for my young little boy or little girl there to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or for my broken home to be repaired. So maybe I should keep them before the throne instead of keeping attacking them every time they turn around. Questions and Answers, Part 1, 1964. Brother Branham has moved to Arizona, and almost all the questions on this tape was, should we move to Arizona? Should we move to Arizona? He said, "Dear God, so many of these questions here about the people coming to Arizona. Oh, dear God, let those dear precious people, they'll listen to this tape out there. Let them know that I'm no dictator to tell them where to live and what to do." Vindicated prophet of God, messenger of the hour. And he says, "I'm no dictator to tell them where to live and what to do." So if he wasn't, how can we think that we are? Tell somebody, "Well, I don't think you should move here. I think you should move to this state or this town, or I think you should go to this church, or I think you should believe this way." Little spiritual dictators. Brother Bam says again, letting off the pressure, 1962, "It's too bad that we ever put denomination in Pentecost, breaking down the bars and things. It's too bad. It cut off the other fellow. And we oughtn't to want to act like the rest of the churches. We are born again group of people. We are free. We are bound down by no man's creeds." Let me repeat that this morning. We are free. We are bound down by no man's creeds. So if you was raised a certain way and you feel a certain way about a certain topic or whatever it would be, but you don't really have a good solid place to stand in the word of the scripture. You know, a sister came, I think it was it to you or to Brother Hoover about the meat? It was you, wasn't it? That about eating pork or something like that. Had approached Brother Layton, and she was raised Catholic, I guess, and she didn't believe in eating meat on Fridays, and she'd come to the message now, but she said, "Brother Layton, I still just have a hard time eating meat on Fridays." Now, you know, I'll be honest, I have no problem eating meat on Fridays. Or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Saturday. All day Sunday. But the sister, because she'd been raised that way, every time she'd go to do it, there's just something convicted her because of her own convictions, her own raising, her own upbringing. And hey, I don't have a scripture to tell you, "Thus saith the Lord, you should eat meat." I was trying to get a little girl to the other day. I cooked hot dogs and hamburgers and mine, just grilled them the best I could, but she don't like meat, so I couldn't make her do it. I don't have a quarter scripture to say, "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt eat hot dogs on Saturday or Friday or whatever day it would be." But I'm free. I'm not bound down by no man's creed. Nobody's going to tell me what I can eat and what I can't eat and all these different things. I'm free in the Holy Spirit. But if somebody else has a conviction on their heart that just checks me, I don't want to do that. I know Brother Nathan doesn't. He's the pastor, but I was just raised a different way, and I just can't bring myself to do it. That's all right. You don't have to. But don't turn around and judge the other one like these men were trying to do to Titus and say, "Well, he's not of the circumcision, so he's just out." But God would send a vindicated prophet and say, "Hey, whether circumcision or uncircumcision, no man can glory in the flesh, but it's what the Holy Spirit does on the inside of a man." We are free. We are bound down by no man's creeds. We are free in Christ now. But it was too bad they did it, because we're still free by God's grace and he's with us tonight. We don't have to be tossed about saying you have to do this and you have to do that and that. We just see Christ come among us. That's the answer right there. The answer is not follow the pastor's rule book of 712 ways to be a Christian. The answer is let Christ come in among us and change hearts and change lives and take away hurt and bitterness and pride and stubbornness and tempers and all kinds of different things. Brother Bram talked about a temper. He said it's the first stages of insanity. He said, "You want to know what happened down in Gadara? Do those swine?" He said, "See somebody lose their temper one time." And he said, "You'll see what happened in Gadara." Yeah. But we have a hard time laying down our things. We want everybody else to lay down the things that we don't agree with in their life, but we have a hard time laying down our own things. "Well, bless God, so-and-so hurt me, and this one did this, and this one that, and so I'm just looking for the next person to do it." Well, the next person didn't do that. And the person that did do it, you need to be able to forgive them and move on so that God can forgive you. Because the scripture said, when you stand, forgive. Because if you won't forgive, then your Father in heaven won't forgive you. And I don't know about you, but I need to be in a place where he can be forgiving of me. Amen. I need to be in a daily condition where, "Lord, if I slip up and I make a mistake and I say the wrong thing and I make the wrong move, I want to be in a condition where he can forgive me." So I don't want to hold anything in my heart against anybody else. Amen. When you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. That doesn't mean the hurt just goes away, that a little fairy comes down and sprinkles you with fairy dust and bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, your hurt is gone. It takes time to heal. Usually emotional scars take a lot longer to heal than a physical scar does. But we serve a God that's able not only to heal physical, but he's able to heal emotional and mental and spiritual and whatever type of problem that you have, he's able to come and heal. There's still a balm in Gilead this morning. There's still a balm. But I've been hurt, Brother Nathan. Well, I'm sorry for that. I hope I wasn't the one that hurt you. If I did, then I'm certainly sorry for that. If I offended you or did anything wrong, I don't believe I would have did it intentional. But there's a God that can give you a peace that passes understanding. There's a God that can heal those old wounds and things that you've gone through and things that people have said about you. And see, many times the devil loves to set traps for us, and he loves to use people against us and to say things about us, and because then that gets us on the defensive. And then if we're not careful, you do like a lot of police officers do. You see, policemen, they deal with so much with just criminal types and people that are wanting to lie to them about why they were going over the speed limit. And I don't know anybody who would ever do anything like that. But they have all kinds of stories that they hear and people trying to convince them of things. And so they get to a spot many times where they're hardened and they have a hard time trusting anybody because they've seen so much false and so much evil and so much criminal and all these different things that they're constantly on the reserve. Is this person lying to me? If is this person got an agenda or an ulterior motive? And if we're not careful, our own self-preservation kicks in and we begin to do that to everybody. Well, I was hurt once upon a time, so I just assumed Brother Trevor's going to hurt me too. I mean, everybody else has, so why hasn't Brother... Well, has he hurt you? Well, no, but just, you know, the pattern in my life has been, well, give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Give somebody a chance, because the devil does not want you to give somebody a chance. The devil wants to divide and conquer and get us fighting one another. Brother Bam said, as long as we're fighting one another, the devil doesn't have to do nothing. He just sits back and laughs at us. I don't know about you. I don't like for the devil to laugh at me. I like to laugh at him, Brother David. But I don't like the mental image of the devil sitting somewhere with his arms folded laughing. Message, pastor, look at him bickering with this one and fussing with that one and arguing with this one. I don't like that mental image. So you know what? I think I'd rather just take precautions to make sure the devil has no opportunity to do that. And ask the Lord to use me to never get bitter, or never have hate in my heart to somebody, or never go with an agenda to fight against somebody else or to do anything else. But what was some of the fruits of the Spirit? Long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, patience. God help us. Patient with other people, long-suffering with other people, able to pray for somebody even if you're determined that they're the one that's wrong. Well, then they need prayer, don't they? You got real quiet right there. I must be on the right track somewhere. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? You came out of this stuff, he said. You used to serve gods that were gods of your imagination, idols of wood and stone and all these things. But now that you've known God, or rather more importantly that you're known of God, why would you turn back to those beggarly elements and desire again to be in bondage? He said, you observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Here he brings them into a message of grace. He brings them into a message of deliverance and freedom and victory and peace. And they go back to the calendar. Well, bless God, this one observes the resurrection on Sunday, but we're Sabbatarians. We'll observe it on Saturday. And we think that the Lord's coming on this date, and so we're just going to put that on the calendar. And anybody that don't believe it that way is wrong. And we think this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And if you don't see it, you're out. He said, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. See, so many times, you know, Brother Bannon would come and tell us over and over and over, you can never major on a minor. That's what he taught us. You can never major on a minor, but we find many times that's the very fault that we get into, is we major on minors. And instead of trying to get people to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, get them born again, get them in a stable relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where he can begin to build and grow and make them into the image that he would have them, and where word would compound upon word and line upon line and precept on precept in their life. What color shoes are you wearing, Brother Trevor? Oh, my goodness. That heel was 2.5 inches high, and I believe I was raised that it should only be 2 inches high. Oh, those things would never go on in the message, would they? I got out my measuring stick, Brother Layton. I stood right next to her and just dropped it down 2.5 inches. What about your cowboy boots? How tall are those? See, Brother Branham did talk about spike heels and talk about that woman trying to walk up that staircase and couldn't do it because she was mincing and going and falling off the stairs and all that. And you know what the right height for a shoe is? You better have quotes and scriptures for this, Brother Nathan. You know what the right height for a shoe on a woman is? Right at the height that she can wear it, where it won't make her start walking like she's shaking her backside around, or like she thinks she's something, or like she's going to fall off into the pits of hell somewhere. Whether that's a flat, or whether that's a half an inch, or an inch, or 2.5 inches, if you can walk decent in it, then praise the Lord. But I won't give an example of how you shouldn't walk. Nobody needs to see that this morning. Amen. See, many times we get into inches and miles and dates and all these things, and we forget the purpose. What was the word sent for? What was the reason? What is the spirit behind it? But we want to compare with everybody. Well, bless God, my heels are 1/2 inch shorter than her. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, because that pride spirit you got in your heart is a lot better than her 1/2 inch. Well, thank you, Jesus. Maybe we should just dismiss and go home before I get voted out this morning. Don't worry, I'm going on vacation soon. You can have a break. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 29. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Thank you, Brother Paul. Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Now, we believe in the word. We believe in preaching the word. We believe in standing for the word. And if it's word, then it should be preached. And if somebody's not living it, if the preaching of the word offends you, then, well, either get offended or find another church, because we're not going to stop preaching the word. We believe in the word. We believe in standing for the word. But I'm not going to judge you by my own conscience and my own convictions and my own preferences. And, well, I don't let my daughter do this. And bless God, somebody else lets her do it. So I guess they're just a heathen. Well, unless I have a quote or a scripture to really fully support that, then I need to just keep a little quiet about it probably. And if I do have a quote or a scripture to fully support that, from Genesis to Revelations and from 47 to 65, then I need to make sure when I approach that person that I'm doing it out of love and not out of a self-righteous attitude that I'm right and you're wrong, and bless God, this is the way it is. Because I don't know about you, I don't receive things very well like that when somebody's giving it to me that way. Bless God, Brother Nathan, you said this and you were so wrong. You made a mistake and you did this. You know, I'd receive it better if you'd say, Brother Nathan, you said something. I don't understand. You know, I didn't understand it. Did you mean it this way? Is that really what Brother Bam teaches? Have I missed something somewhere? And, you know, I'd be a lot more receptive to it than just calling me a liar flat out, you know, just right off the bat without giving me a chance to share a quote or a scripture or defend myself. Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? But this is what we do as message believers, right? If you don't go to the school that we feel led to do, or you don't raise your children the way that we feel led to do, or you don't only allow them to watch the movies that we approve, or play with the toys that we approve, or dress in the way that we approve, then we can't fellowship with you, and you're just out. Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Now, I know a lot of you weren't raised this way, but I'm sorry that you weren't raised in the way that the Word taught. I'm sorry that you were raised to judge somebody over your parents' opinion or your pastor's opinion or your own opinion or whatever it would be. But I'm not going to judge somebody unless I judge them by the Word. And then I'm just going to let the Word do the judging. God didn't make me judge and executioner and jury. Amen. He called me to help people. I'm here to help people. Amen. I'm not here to shove people away. I'm not here to run people away. I'm not here to beat people over the head or make them try to live the Brother Nathan Bryant standards. I'm here to get you to the Word and to get you to the Holy Spirit that can make you live the Word. Amen. Why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? Now, I used this example a few months ago, and I'll just use it again because I feel like it's a good example. And please don't take me wrong and think that I'm trying to tell you to do this, because I'm not. But our family hasn't shopped at Target in about 5 years because of their silly bathroom policy. And hey, there's plenty of businesses that are just as perverted or whatever as they are and support just as many bad things as they do. But I've got little children that, you know, it just so happens every time we go in a store anywhere, they decide they have to go to a bathroom. And I don't really want to take them to a bathroom and take my little boys in there and Sally be going to the bathroom next to them, or my wife take my little girl in the bathroom and Fred be going to the bathroom next to them. I really don't want to do that, so we don't go. But I don't have a quote of scripture to tell you not to go, and I've never admonished you not to go, because that's my personal preference and my personal opinion and my personal conviction. And then I felt bad the other day because somebody in the family had got a birthday present for Nathaniel, and it was the wrong size shirt, and my wife had to go into Target and exchange it. And I thought somebody's going to run into her sure as anything and say, "Oh yeah, Brother Nathan says that over the pulpit," but... But I sent her in without the children and said, "Don't use the bathroom in Target." No, no, I didn't tell her that. But I didn't send the kids in with her. That's just my preference. That's my opinion. That's my American right. Amen. Nobody can make me shop at Target. But I'm not here to make anybody not shop at Target. That's my opinion. I have a right to my own opinion. Maybe that makes you mad. Maybe you think I'm a legalist because of that. Well, I'm not trying to force that on you. I'm not trying to tell you what days to eat meat and what days not to eat meat. I'm just trying to preach the Word to you. But don't let somebody come in and try to lord over you with their opinion and their conscience. If they don't have a solid place in the Word that they can come and show you in love, then just say, "Well, God bless you. I'm sorry that our opinions are different, but I'm going to go off of my own opinion if I'm going to use anybody's." Hear ye him, 1958. Isn't that just like today, denominations splitting up brotherhood? One says, "Oh, I believe in the keeping of the Sabbath." Other one, "I don't want to eat meat." And this one, "You can't drink a soft drink." This one, "You have to do this." And this, "You have to do that." Denomination barriers, drawed lines, drawed. If you're right in your heart, the rest of it will take place all right. Amen. See, this is the major, but we have a tendency to focus on the minors. Was it you or Brother Hoover, one of you brothers, or maybe both of you? And I think my parents and everyone grew up in Pentecostal moves where, you know, you couldn't drink Dr. Pepper, but you could drink one other drink, whatever it was, or something like that. You couldn't drink this drink, but you could drink that drink. And you know why I'm sure that was? Probably because the pastor of that church liked that one specific drink. And so that became the one accepted soda that was holy and righteous to drink. Man-made opinions. I remember when I was about 4 or 5 years old, my grandpa Gibson, they had a TV. We was raised without a TV. And I'd go in there and our neighbor, Mrs. Lloyd, who we rented from, I'd go and tell her what Brother Bram taught about I Love Lucy. And she must have had a lot of grace because she kept letting us rent anyhow. And my grandpa would go in and I'd tell him this, that, or the other about the TV. And Brother Bram said the TV should go and all these different things. And one day, man, he got me right where I was living, Brother Layton. He said, "What about the Lone Ranger?" Well, I guess that'd be okay. Because, see, I had exceptions because that's what I liked. You had to make an exception, right? If you're right in your heart, the rest of it will take place all right. Man, we try to get people to go through the steps and go through the motions and go through our patterns of this, that, and the other, and two steps forward over here, and you got to go over here and do this, and only wear these brand of clothes, and only wear this style of this, and you got to watch these type of movies and not these, and go over here and do this, and don't you know that this said this, and all mine. We just pile on all these do's and don'ts, and where people are sitting there twitching, scared to do anything, when the main thing was get them right in their heart. And God will be able to tell them what to do and what not to do. And if they can read, they'll be able to see it plainly in His Word. Oh, this is what the Word says about that. And if they have a question, they come to the pastor or whoever it is, they should be able to show them not, well, bless God, this is the way I feel, so this is the law, but be able to show them in the Word, this is what the Word teaches, and this is why we believe that, and this is why we do that. Yes. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'm not here to pass out yokes this morning. And I hope nobody else is here to pass out their yokes of this idea or that idea or this way of doing something or their personal style or their personal preference or whatever. And they want to bring people under their yoke of bondage and say, well, this is the way you should do it. This is the way I was taught. This is the way I was brought up. And this is the way that it is. Well, you know, we don't always have the perfect raising. And even if we did, that doesn't mean that it's perfect for somebody else. Doesn't mean that it's perfect for somebody else. We've got different personalities, different cultures, different ideas, different backgrounds. Some of these things there's no right answer to. It's what's your attitude and your motive and objective behind it. You say, well, no right answer, Brother Nathan. I thought Brother Bram said where there's a scriptural question, there's a scriptural answer. That's right. But if somebody feels convicted in their heart to eat meat, then I don't have a right answer to just tell them, bless God, you have to eat meat. But I don't have to not eat meat just because they feel convicted to. Paul said, if meat offend my brother, I'm not going to sit down and eat a big steak in front of my brother. But I don't think that meant he was just never going to eat meat again. He just didn't want to stumble his brother or cause an occasion that, well, if I know this is going to offend my brother, then I'm not just going to rub it in his face and say, hey, look what I do. Look how much freer I am than you, buddy. That's not the spirit of Christ. Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He didn't come to bind you up. He came to free you, to loose you. There when Peter was in jail, the angel of the Lord didn't come to put him into more bondage. The angel of the Lord came by and his chains fell off and the prison doors was opened. Amen. Works as Faith Express, 1965. Brother Bram's talking about Mrs. Fenton, who was a lady that he said when he used to deliver groceries when he was a young man, he had come in contact with her, and she was a personal friend of him and his wife. And he sees this vision, and in the vision, he sees Mrs. Fenton. And she said, Brother Branham, deliver us from this. Said, this is a house of hell. And said, you've been misunderstood, and said these, and you misunderstood these people too. So not only was he misunderstood, but he had misunderstood these people too. Said, these are fine people, but, and I looked over there, and like a great big cellar, big walls down beneath a great big cave, and great iron bars, 8 or 10 inches thick, and people out of their mind, twisted arms and legs, beating their heads like that. And she was crying, saying, deliver the people. Brother Branham said, help us, we're in trouble. She herself, I know her, she belongs to the, I believe, the Church of Christ or Christian Church or called Church of the Brethren. He goes on a little further, and I thought, well, how could I deliver them? I haven't got strength enough in my arms to break those bars. So I said, in house of hell, give way to the name of Jesus. And all the creaking and popping and rocking, rocks are rolling and bars are falling and people running, screaming, delivered. And screaming at the top of their voice, and was all delivered. And I was screaming then, Brother Roy Borders, where are you? Where are you? God is delivering his people. Amen. I believe God's still here this morning to deliver his people. He wants to deliver you. He doesn't want to bind you up into some creed or some man-made idea. He wants to free you from those things that has been pressed down upon you, maybe for your whole life, from leadership of churches or from family influences or whatever it is, and they try to place their conscience upon you and take away your liberty. But I'm not here to place my conscience on you. I'm here to tell you the Word of God, and that God wants to deliver you from your addictions and from your preconceived ideas that are contrary to the Word, and from your sickness and from your pain and your heartache and your scars from your childhood or wherever it would be. He's here to grant deliverance this morning. He didn't give you a spirit of bondage. He didn't call you to bring you back into Egypt again, but he wants to give you a spirit of peace and a spirit of liberty where we can cry, Abba, Father, a spirit of adoption, that he loved us enough to call us out of whatever we got tangled up in. Amen. Why don't we bow our heads this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, maybe there's many times we don't realize that the devil tries to set a trap for us and bring us right back into the same old traditions and same old mentality that God sent a prophet to call us out of. We want to prove everybody wrong and make everybody live our convictions and our preferences. But Lord, help us to not forget the main thing is just to get them to the Word and get them to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit take control of their lives and lead them and guide them. May we never try to put a yoke of bondage on somebody to try them, make them live our preferences, Lord. But Lord Jesus, may we be long-suffering. May we extend grace to one another. Say, Lord, help that person. I don't understand why they do this or do that, but Lord, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, the same as they are. You love them just like you love me. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, as I sang this morning, help us to have the right attitude, the godly attitude. Lord, that you didn't shove people away when they were wrong, but you reached out a hand to help them. You came to save the lost. You didn't come to save the righteous. You came to save the lost. There were plenty of self-righteous Pharisees sitting around. They couldn't receive you because they thought they were right already and didn't need help. But Lord, we admit this morning, we need your help. We need your grace. We need your mercy. Lord, we need you to come. Lord, with some balm of Gilead, heal. Heal the wounded. Heal the brokenhearted. Heal the hurting, the despised, the wounded, Lord. Those that have been beat down mentally or emotionally, those that have physical sicknesses in their life, those that have family troubles, Lord, and things that they've gone through that's broken their hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd come and heal in a way that only you can heal, Lord. Mend in a way that only you can mend, Lord. As men, Lord, we don't have the right words, and we don't have a magic potion that we can just snap our finger and make everything better, Lord. But help us, Lord, as believers, to just keep pouring a little bit of oil. Lord, healing, mercy, and grace, and love. Help us to keep extending love to others. Maybe they've never felt love in the way that it really should be given. Help us to love like Jesus. Help us to talk like Jesus. Walk like Jesus. Live like Jesus. Treat one another like you would treat us, Lord. You're so patient. You're so long-suffering, Lord. If we'll all be honest with ourselves, there's so many times we stumble and fall and mess up and say the wrong things and speak when we should keep our mouth shut. God, help us. You're so patient with us. Help us to extend that patience onto others. You're so merciful to us, Lord. Help us to extend that mercy to others. Lord, you've expressed your love so thoroughly to us. Help us to express love to others. Even when we disagree, even when we don't understand, Lord, help our first response not to be to sit as a judge, but Lord, to sit as an intercessor, to pray for that person. Oh, help us, Jesus. Lord, we'd do so much better if we would just take people to prayer instead of taking them before this one and taking them before that one, but to take them to your throne in prayer, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Break every chain of man-made creeds and opinions and ideas. Break every chain of addiction, every chain of hurt and broken hearts, Lord. Lord, help the people to realize there's a God that loves them and cares about them. Lord, that you're more than able to bring them through whatever they're facing, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We have confidence in you, Lord. I have confidence in you for each one sitting here this morning. No matter how impossible their situation seems, I know that it's not impossible for you, Lord. I have confidence in you this morning. I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in you for my children, Lord, to fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm trusting in you for my family, Lord, for my finances, for my health. Lord, I'm trusting you for the wisdom to grant me, Lord, to leadership of this church, Lord. We need you. We need your wisdom. We're trusting in you. We're depending on you for the wisdom to encourage others and to handle situations the way that you would handle them. Lord, we need you. We're helpless without you, Lord. Come and deliver your people again this morning, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We believe it's a finished work at Calvary. Lord, may our confession and our lives just catch up with what you already did for us, Lord. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there is power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power. Thank you, Lord. Break every chain, break every chain. Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain. Every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's an army that's rise. Oh, Satan's tried to fight her and hold her back every way he can, but there's an army. Break every chain. Oh Lord, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's a bride that's rising up. God's got a bride. She's rising in the midst of Laodicea, in the midst of adversaries. I look around the building, I see, oh, there's some young people that will rise up. Even in this age of darkness, God's got some young people that they're rising up. God help our young people that are rising up. Lord help. every chain, break every chain. Oh, every chain that would try to be put on them at school or in the world, wherever they'd go. Break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's a bride. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. There's a bride. She'll rise right on up. Oh, God, help us break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, Lord, help us break every chain. Break every chain. Satan's tried to stop her in every age, but your bride, she'll just keep rising up. You predestinated her, oh, and your bride, she's rising up. Oh, Lord, help us break every chain. Oh, break every chain. Lord, help us break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, you weren't born for this valley. Oh, but you were born. So don't let your trials, don't let them get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Just mount up with wings. Why don't we stand and sing it this morning together? Oh, don't let Satan try to drive you down, discourage you. You're free this morning in Jesus' name. So spread your wings, little eagle, yes, Jesus. For we weren't born for this valley. Oh, but you were born for the skies. So don't trials, don't let it get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. We'll just mount up with me, little eagle, and fly. Oh, let's sing it again together.
Your trials get you down. Oh, I'll stand for Jesus. you, Lord, to walk with me. Be my friend, oh, be my friend. Just be my friend. I don't want him to be my judge. I want him to be my friend. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I said, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. For I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Well, listen, Satan, we're gonna shout kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna pray your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, mothers and fathers and children are praying it down. I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. It's not popular. Oh, but Satan, we'll still preach your kingdom down. Well, for I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I heard a voice in heaven say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Amen. You thankful for that this morning? Amen. Thankful for deliverance? Amen. Amen. Thankful for victory? Oh, my. Let's sing this together. Brother Furman, what's that other one? I'm drawing a blank on, but we sing that goes right along with all those. Higher ground. I'm something to higher ground. Canaan's land. Thank you. I'm on my way. Amen. I haven't lost all my memory yet, but anyway, it's good to have brothers to help you out every once in a while. Well, I'm on my way to Canaan's land.
To Canaan's land.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way
to higher ground.
To
the word of the Lord this morning. Amen. This is 600 in your hymn book. I'd sang this a while back and I got some feedback and we sang it this way and we sang it that way, and I don't know, I only heard it one way, and that was as a little boy on Sunday afternoons here in the Amish that the young people sing it. So I think my mom will know it that way. But other than that, you guys will just have to help me out. I know you've heard it over the years, but if your way is different than my way, just listen to the words. Jesus signed my pardon. Amen. This I surely know. He took my place on Calvary. Now I don't have to go. So, amen. Help me sing it this morning. 600 in your book there.
Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. Took my place on Calvary. Now I don't have to go. All my life I give Him. He gave His for me. When He signed my pardon there on Calvary, I was in sin's prison, oh so dark and cold, like a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. Then the door sprang open and He spoke to me. I have signed your pardon, now you can go free. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place on Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I give Him, He gave His for me. When He signed my pardon there on Calvary, when my Savior led me from that awful place, I could hear the angels, they sang Amazing Grace. Now I know I'm pardoned from all sin and shame. I will join them singing, oh glory to His name. Oh Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place on Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I give Him, He gave His for me. When He signed my pardon there on Calvary, life is now worth living. Since I've been set free, I'm glad He was willing to save a wretch like me. Now I have a mansion, not a prison wall. Since Jesus signed my pardon, oh yes, He paid it all. Oh, Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place on Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I give Him, He gave His for me. When He signed my pardon there on Calvary, oh, life is now worth living. Since I've been set free, I'm glad He was willing to save a wretch like me. Now I have a mansion, not a prison wall. Jesus signed my pardon, oh yes, He paid it all. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place on Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I give him, he gave his for me. When, Brother Stephen, would you come up and dismiss us? Now on Calvary. Oh, Jesus, sign my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place on Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my
pardon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thinking about that song and how you signed that pardon for us. Lord, you knew what I was like, and yet you signed that pardon. You gave your life. You shed your blood. How thankful I am and how thankful we are, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for coming and speaking to us. I pray you to encourage Brother Nathan and strengthen him for the service tonight. Just go with us, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful to be here with one another, but most of all, Lord, we're thankful to be here with you. Help our words and our actions and our testimony all bring glory to you and reflect your name, Lord. Be with us as we go this afternoon. Bring us back in your appointed time, Lord, in your love. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you, saints. You can be dismissed. Let's sing that as we go. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.
I was in sin's prison, oh, so dark and cold, like a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. Then the door sprang open, and he spoke to me. I have signed your pardon, now you can go free. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place on Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there on Calvary, when my Savior led me from that awful place, I could hear the angels, they sang Amazing Grace. Now I know I'm pardoned from all sin and shame. I will join them singing, oh glory to his name. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place on Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary, life is now worth living since I've been set free. I'm glad he was willing to save a wretch like me. Now I have a mansion, not a prison wall. Jesus signed my pardon, oh yes, he paid it all. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place on Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I give him, he gave his for me. When he signed